The vision is for an appointed time. Be patient, but be ready. For when I open the door, it will happen quickly. Don't miss this opportunity that I will show unto you, saith the Lord. For it is a great and effectual door, and I have already prepared it before you, saith the Spirit of God. Heavenly Father, help us. Help us today not to miss this, not to be distracted, not to look to the left nor to the right, but let our eyes look straight on as we follow you. Lord, we patiently wait. Lord, but when the door opens, we want to run with the vision in the name of Jesus. And everyone before you receive this offering said amen and amen. Brother Sean, would you receive this offering in the name of Jesus Christ today? We're glad that you're here on Mother's Day to talk about God honoring moms by identifying himself with your love. That is an awesome thing for me. There's not a place in the Bible where God talks of love as strongly as he does of his love as a mother's love. Dads don't get that. We love, and he gives us that credit. We have a Father in heaven. But when that Father in heaven, who always identifies himself in the masculine gender, amen, but when he wants to talk about the love that flows from this mighty, omnipotent, all-powerful God, he always chooses a mother. Jesus stood at Jerusalem, and he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times would I have taken you under my wing as a mother hen does her chicks, but you wouldn't let me." Can you say amen? What an honor to moms, good moms. Now, you may not have had that kind of mother, but you know what the ideal is. You know what it's supposed to be. And God said, when it's right, you're getting a glimpse of what my heart is like. This mighty, powerful God that sometimes seems so distant in his heaven. Amen. Says, I'm intimate. I am personal. I am committed in my love. Amen. To my people and to all people. I want to save the lost. I want to secure every man, woman, boy, and girl. And he told ancient Israel, he said, literally, thou shalt be dandled upon my knee. And you can see a mother doing that. One mother wrote, I don't know who's having the most fun, the baby or me. Amen. When you're taking that baby and dandling the baby, literally rocking the baby upon your knee. Amen. Thou, to a nation, God says things that are just between a mother and her intimate personal love for that child, that bond is there, and that bond is in the heart of God. He says to ancient Israel nationally, because of his covenant of love to a nation of people, thou shalt be dandled upon my knee. Isn't that incredible? He said on another occasion, and there were names given to people. He gave names to people in that nation, to tribes in that nation, that meant thou will be carried between my shoulders. Everybody say carried between his shoulders. You know what that meant? Have you ever, and they still do it in some of the ancient cultures, that the women, right after having a baby, had to still do chores and go work in the fields. As soon as they could get out of bed, they had to go, and they've got this infant. Now you can take a work leave, and they have maternity leave, and believe it or not, dads can even take time off when there's a baby born without pay and be guaranteed their job back. Isn't that incredible that we live in that kind of time? We were working, you know, I'm retired now, which you know, I don't have to hit that like I did. I'm trying to catch up on all I had to let go. Last Wednesday, I wanted to be here and pray with you fellas, but I had to get boxes packed and get them compacted and see what had to go and what couldn't go to literally move my mother-in-law. So when my wife left Thursday morning to take it to Alabama, but I remember just before I quit work, we were working 6 days a week, threatening to go to 7 days a week. Some people were working 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, just incredibly hard working conditions. And there was one man whose wife had a baby, and he took off to help care for the baby. And I, you know, we were all trying to find out if we had to work Saturday and everything and what the hours were going to be. And I remember telling him, you know, I think I'm going to go home and talk to Pamela because I couldn't get a day off and I was getting so far behind. I said, you know, I'm going to go home and talk to Pamela and see if she might consider having another child so that I can get a little time off. And of course, that was really a joke. We've been there. We've done that. We're past that. And children are just wonderful. But I'm glad mine are grown. We're there. We made it. Praise God. And I got a son now that, as I said, I'm praying for. His deliverance is going to be one of the great shouting events in my life. I don't know if I'll ever come down after I start shouting over that event. And it is coming. I feel that with all of my heart. Hallelujah. As long as it takes, it's coming. Praise the Lord. God is so very, very good today. Amen. But when God wanted to show his love, he used the female gender. Amen. Thou shalt be dandled upon his knees. He said it as he said, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. And then he said, as a mother comforteth her children, so I will comfort you, O house of Israel. And then he said, can a mother forsake her suckling child? Yea, she may, but I will never forsake you, O house of Israel. When he wanted to show the tenderness and tenacity of his love, he chose a good mother's love. Amen. To give us a glimpse of how he loves. And everybody needs to understand the goodness of God. Everybody here needs to get a grasp on that. We have literally put too much emphasis on angels and experiences and not enough on really understanding who he really is. Can you say amen? And yet David said, I had been crushed by life. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. We all know when we get to heaven, everything's going to be all right. Won't it be wonderful there, we used to sing. Having no burdens to bear, walking and talking with Christ the Supernal One. Won't it be wonderful there? Well, we're not there yet. We need some grace and mercy for here. And not only grace and mercy, we need a deeper revelation of God's great character of goodness and love. Everybody say goodness and love. Now, here's a little prayer we used to say over our food. God is great. God is good. We didn't understand what we were talking about when we said God is good. Amen? We really didn't grasp that single statement. We sing the song, God is good all the time. But David said, I couldn't have faced life. The faith that came in me, the trust that came alive in me to get through what I have been through, unless I believe to see God's goodness manifest. Amen. I had been crushed by life. Listen, David had a son who turned on him. And the son wanted to kill David and take his kingdom. So if you think you got family issues, you should read the life of David. His own son, Absalom, wanted to kill his daddy and take over his kingdom and raised an army and tried to do it. He had a son who raped his half-sister. And another son who vowed to kill that son. So if you think you've got family issues, you should look at the family of David. David had relationships that with people that he trusted that broke him. Paul listed among all of his hurts and persecutions for the gospel that he was among false brethren. People that he trusted with his heart, that he trusted would have his back, that he trusted their friendship would remain. But he said they proved to be false. And I think that hurt him as bad as any physical beating that he had ever received. Some of you have been hurt in your heart. And God wants to heal the hurt in your heart. God is good. And he wants you to know something about his goodness. Can you say, Matt? So many people have run after manifestations. People are looking for gold dust to appear. They're looking for feathers. They're looking for lights. They're looking for something other than the revelation of God. They're looking for the glory that attends his presence. But the Bible didn't say, amen, that there's joy in the glory that attends his presence. The Bible said there's joy in his presence. Can you say, amen, in his presence there's fullness of joy. The Bible said to come into his courts with thanksgiving. Enter his gates with praise. But come before his presence with singing. Can you say, amen, come before his presence with singing. You know what we should do on Sunday morning? We should have an understanding that he is here and that he is good. And we should enter into his presence with singing. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Everybody in this room. You say, but Brother Benjamin, I really don't feel anything. Listen, God will literally, I really believe God will not let you replicate every service so that you can feel something every service. You know why? Because your faith will never develop. If you have to feel God, and I love to experience the presence of God, and I do experience the presence of God, and I don't want to go to a church where you can't experience the presence of God, but I do not want to build my faith on what I experience in a given service. Why? Because it's not on the Word of God anymore. Let me tell you something about your emotions. When you take an emotional hit, when you are heartbroken or when you go through a crisis in life, your emotions are speaking so loud, you will not be sensitive to the presence of God. You'll sit in a service where everybody's shouting and you'll feel like you're in some kind of vacuum spiritually. It's almost like when you need to feel him the most, you can't. The person probably with the greatest need in the room may not be able to experience what everybody else is freely moving into. And that's paradoxical. I used to wonder when I was going through nervous exhaustion, why is it that I'm the most needy person in this room and everybody's experiencing God's presence but me? And yet his eye is on the sparrow. Amen. He goes after the one sheep that's a cast sheep. He goes after the one that he leaves the 99 that are okay to not forsaking, but leaves them in the safety of the fold. And he goes after the one. And I was the one, and I knew what the scripture said, but I wasn't experiencing it because nervous exhaustion just absolutely sensitizes your emotions and to where you just can't hardly feel. You know where I could feel God most? When I preached the gospel, the anointing to preach would come. When I couldn't feel it coming from any other direction, so I just kept on preaching. One of the things that kept me preaching during that time was I loved to experience the anointing as I began to preach the Word of God. The devil would say, how can you preach faith and you can't even hardly find God? You don't even know how to experience him anymore. How can you preach faith? Well, I preached faith because my faith was in what the Word of God declared. I used to go up in that old holy church of God, open my Bible to the book of Psalms. I found a man in the book of Psalms that's just like I was. A man many times that felt so distant, wondered what God was doing, had all of these doubts and fears, but ultimately would come full circle and come back into the presence of God and stand in his faith. And would say things like this, soul, why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for he shall yet be the health of thy countenance. Can you say amen? And I would talk to my own soul and say, why art you disquieted within me? People live in such a vacuum of understanding the goodness of God. And what I'm teaching you this morning, amen, it's in those valleys that I discovered what I've discovered about him. Through the Word and through my walk with him through those valleys. I want you to know something. If angels appear, fine. But if I never see an angel till I get to heaven, it's not angels I'm after. I'm pursuing the living God. Can you say amen? He's the one that comforts me, counsels me, with me 24/7. Praise God. His goodness has caused me to come up out of the horrible pit. And he didn't just bring me up, but he set my feet on a rock. Can you say amen? That means I'm not going to slip back in it again. How do you know, Brother Venable? Because I know something about him that's going to keep me from slipping back in it again. I know more about his goodness since I've discovered the God of the valleys than I ever knew about the God of the mountaintops. You remember the great story in the Old Testament of Israel going to battle, and this army said, let's fight them on the high ground. Let's stand on the high ground, and we can fight them from the high ground. And Israel went up, and God went with them, and they just beat them and bloodied them, and they were in disarray and had to withdraw and retreat. And you know what that enemy discovered, what they figured out in their finite understanding? They said, their God is real, all right. He's a mighty victory-giving God, because we looked like we could defeat them easily, but something supernatural took place and we're losing this battle. Their God is real, all right. We acknowledge that, but he's the God of the mountains. If we can draw them out to battle in the plains, they won't be able to get a victory because their God is the God of the mountains. Did you know many people in this room, your God is the God of the mountains? Amen. In the way you perceive him, that in the valleys you can't comprehend that God offers victory in valleys. That God offers victory when your emotions are racked, when you don't feel like praying, but you pray anyway. That God listens and God moves. It's not your feeling that gets your prayer through. It's God's heart that's set upon you and his ear that's open to you. Can you say amen? Whether you feel the Holy Ghost, whether you don't. Amen. Whether you feel good or whether you feel bad. That's not the issue. He just said, call upon me in the day of trouble. And I will answer you. And you will glorify me. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise in this room. Call upon me. Call upon me. Call upon me. I love it when I pray and I feel, as the song said, I know a little fire is burning because I feel a little prayer wheel turning. And that God who represented in Ezekiel as a wheel within a wheel, sometimes I feel that God churning on the inside of me. But I'm telling you something, it has nothing to do with my faith or my prayer life. I don't pray until I feel, amen. I pray until he hears. And that means when I open my mouth, his ear is open. People have been so hornswoggled, hoodwinked, chagrined, every other descriptive word you can put on it, running after angels instead of pursuing the knowledge of God. Running after experiences instead of pursuing the knowledge of God. You can get in the Bible and be a debater of Scripture and say, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right. You can pursue the Word of God and lose sight of the God of the Word. Amen? And be 100% biblically accurate. The Word, the Logos, killeth. The Spirit gives life. This is not just an intellectual book that we intellectually give mental assent to. This is a book that addresses the inward part of our being. No wonder so many Pentecostals are so easily misled, because we see a light, we run for that light. Jesus said, I am the light. We should be pursuing him. And if, hey, don't get me wrong, I would love it if the Shekinah glory just filled this room like a fog. And we thought it was smoke and realized, because everybody just fell out on the floor, amen, under the power of God, that God had just did a special manifestation for us. I'm going to tell you something, it won't affect my faith. My faith is in his word. Amen. And my quest is to know him. They that do know their God will what? Amen. We can be used of God in the dimension that he wants to use us, to the degree that he wants to use us, simply by coming to a knowledge of him. That's why Paul said, oh, that I might know him. Can you say amen? And the guy's credentials of experiences would go beyond anybody that's ever had any. I mean, this guy was caught up in the third heaven. He saw things and was brought back down into the earth. Praise God. He had a healing ministry. He had a word ministry. He had an insight into the understanding of the cross and what Jesus came to accomplish. He wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. Can you say, man? He said, I'm a Jew of the Jew. I'm of the Jews. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. Amen. I was circumcised the eighth day according to the law. And speaking of the law, I am blameless. But he said the things, all of these religious credentials that I count, the things that I count gain to me, would count as gain to me. I count them as but dung that I might know Christ. That I might win him and know him. Oh, that I might know him. And that knowledge was so consuming in Paul's life. He said, I don't want to know anything among you. There's so many tangents you can get into. I don't want to know anything among you save Christ and him crucified. I want to keep looking at what kind of love and what kind of God and what kind of character of goodness and self-sacrifice. I want to plumb the depths of it. Why would God do this? How could God do this? That he would give his only begotten son. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Especially when that king is my creator and my God. And who are you? Some people in here are waiting because of an underdeveloped knowledge of God for some sign, something. And God wants you to know him. After all of these years, God wants you to, because they that know their God shall be what? Strong. And they will do what? They will do exploits. Literally, the New International says they will be steadfast in their faith and they will take action. They won't be stymied by fear. They won't be stalled by doubt. Amen. They will take action. Why? Because they know their God is faithful. Because they know their God loves them. Can you say amen? It's incredible. When we wait to feel, some of us are like pressure cookers. And the pressure builds and builds and builds. And we finally get an anointed service. And we think someone is really getting a spiritual blessing. When in reality, we're just letting off steam. How many know some shouts is just letting off the steam? How do you know, Brother Venable? Because 2 weeks later, there's no progression. There's no stability. They that do know their God will be what? Steadfast. Everybody say steadfast. Strong. Spiritual strength is not based on a blessing that comes and goes, that lifts the emotions and then drops them again when trouble comes. Amen. Spiritual stamina will take you through your trials and take you through your test, but you've got to come to know Him. You've got to get to know Him. One thing I've desired, David said, that will I seek after, that I may inquire at your temple and behold your beauty. You can hear Paul just saying almost the same thing. Oh, that I might know Him, David. Oh, there's only one thing I desire. And Paul said, same thing I desire. And the Bible said, you will find me if you want to know Him as He truly is. You will find me when you seek after me with how much of your heart? All of your heart. Just going to a revival meeting. It hurts me to see God's people merchandised. It hurts me to see spiritual phonies stand up and mesmerize a crowd. You know what mesmerize means? Does anybody know what mesmerize means? It's easy to get in a crowd and be mesmerized. You know what that means? There was a hypnotist in Germany who found out that if you get a whole crowd focused on the same thing, you can begin by the power of suggestion to use hypnosis on an entire audience. His name was Mesmer. And he was so effective in doing this and displaying this in halls and theaters and places that he would rent, that the word is in the dictionary right now for something that involves a person or a crowd of people called mesmerize. How do you know a crowd is mesmerized? When 150 people confess healing, and 2 weeks later, not one of them is healed. They've been mesmerized. They haven't been in the presence of God or under someone's strong, powerful anointing. How many know Pentecostals need to face reality when God... Listen, I was healed of cancer. And here I am at 8 going on 9. Here I am 62. I'm a living, breathing, walking, talking representation of what God did. If anybody believes in divine healing, it's me. But I don't go to meetings to be mesmerized or pressured or by the power of suggestion made to say something that is called faith, which hasn't really happened to me. Lady went to one of those meetings by a prominent evangelist, came back to our church. She was mesmerized. Amen. Crowd control is a powerful thing. Amen. Hitler used some of these kind of techniques. He got people to do unthinkable things. Amen. Through the power and persuasiveness of his own voice and his own leadership. Listen, folks, I want the genuine. When I go to a meeting, I don't care. If I fall out, fine. If I don't fall out, fine. But when I get up, I want to have something of substance in my life, spirit, soul, and body. I don't want to just fall out and run and have an experience and not be healed. I want to be healed. Oh, and if you will come back in the weeks to come, because I've got time to do some of these things I couldn't do before, but I want to show you something about the hem of His garment that you need to know. I want to bring a message to you that I believe is going to help us have faith for healing beyond anything that we may have been taught before. God has just taken me and shown me some wonderful things, but it's going to be about Him and His garment. Hallelujah. His anointing, His goodness, His grace, His mercy. Everything's going to focus on Him and point to Him. Amen. Listen, Paul said, when I preached to you, I preached to this end that you might be established. And that word established to the church meant literally set at one with. He didn't want you hanging off of his coattail. He didn't want you just hanging off of his experience. He didn't want you dependent on his anointing. He wanted to hook you up with his God. Hallelujah. That you might know him for yourself. Can you say amen? Everybody say set at one with. God wants you to know him to a degree that you are strong and that you take action, that your faith doesn't lay waiting for some stimulus, that you literally believe him when the trouble comes. You believe him when there's a need. You rise up and put your trust in him, and God can manifest himself to you personally. Can you say amen? I don't believe God designed the system that we have today when God vests all of his power and anointing in a man or woman. And the only way to get a touch from him is to get where they are. You know why? Because people begin to look to that person instead of looking to God. And they never know God. They never know God. There are spiritual groupies that follow evangelists all over the country. I've seen people that did that. I know one young lady I told you about before, and I'll tell you about again. It breaks my heart because I knew her from childhood that followed an evangelist, and this is supposed to be one of the most powerful revivals in America at the time. Followed, from, would go 600 miles, 800 miles, 1,200 miles, stay in a motel just to be in every meeting to get a quote-unquote touch, touch, touch. Did you know what the last report I heard from this young woman? She was Baker acted and put into a mental institution. Are you listening to me? They that do know their God are not going to lose literally their moorings and become confused and messed up in their mind. There's peace in knowing him. There's power in knowing him. But when you just follow an evangelist around, you're never getting to know him. Sometimes, to really get to know him, you have to let him take you through valleys and learn how to trust him and see that he's the God of the valleys, not just the God of the mountains. Can you say amen? I will not go back to trying to emotionally move you. I do not want to mesmerize anybody. I don't want to, by the power of suggestion, get you to do something. I want to introduce you to this mighty God that took me through a valley, that took me through the dark times, that when I couldn't see and I couldn't feel, he was real in my life. That he let me know of his great love for me had nothing to do with my performance for him. Amen. I'm not preaching to get to heaven today. I'm preaching because I've got something to say and I got a calling on my life and I love my master. And it's a privilege and honor to serve him today. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not preaching to get rich today, and you know I'm not rich. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm rich in faith. I'm rich in love. I'm rich in an understanding of this good God. Amen. And no one can convince me. No one anywhere can convince me that God has invested it all in one person. Paul said, when I came to you, amen, and I preached to you, and then the end of all my preaching is this, that you might be established or set at one with God, so that when I leave, nothing of his presence, his power, his person goes with me. I do not take him with me because of the anointing that is on me, because I have revealed something that you can get a hold of for yourself. God wants you to know him. God wants you to know him. We had a big move with angels not long ago, and it's still out there. People still get turned on. If somebody says angels are around, they just take a beeline for where the angels are. Every time we assemble together, he says, there am I. And it's a hit and miss thing about church on Sunday. But angels, people will drive 1,200 miles if they think they might glimpse an angel in a service. Let me tell you something about angels. They're here right now. I'm not mesmerizing you. I'm telling you, angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear him, that reverence him, to deliver them. They're here right now. Amen? The angels of the Lord are here. You say, well, I have never seen one. Doesn't matter. Don't matter. You don't need to see them. deliverance. As long as they deliver me, I don't care if I never see it. Can you say amen? Most mission fields, the missionaries who were delivered never saw an angel. But the people who came to hurt them did. In Billy Graham's book, not some wild Pentecostal like me. But I'm a wild Pentecostal. I'm wild about Jesus and I believe in the power of God. So go ahead and categorize me and castigate me and do anything you want to about me. I'm emotional and make no apology for it. Amen. Bucks fans are emotional when they win. They're even emotional when they lose. Can you say amen? They weep when they lose. They shout when they win. Well, we weep and shout in here too. Hallelujah. But not over losing, just over winning. Praise God. Hallelujah. But in Billy Graham's book, Angels, 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 he's telling about one missionary who went to this tribe somewhere and they hated them because they were turning them from the witch doctors and the cultural beliefs and preaching Christ to them. And a group of them got together to come and kill him one night. And they came and surrounded the little mission house. And the missionary knew that there was hatred and there was danger. And the missionary was praying. And that night, those men came to kill him. Something happened. And they turned around and they left without doing him any harm. Years later, those men that came to kill them, they were converted to Jesus Christ. And when they were converted to Jesus Christ, amen, they told the missionary, we came with our weapons intent on killing you and your family. And he said, why didn't you do that? And they said, because on either side of the entranceway to your home, there were two huge warriors in white apparel, and their appearance was so intimidating, we fled in fear. The missionary didn't see the angels. The missionary didn't need to see angels. The missionary was delivered by the angels. Can you say amen? But the people who came to do the damage saw the angels. Patty cake won't do for that. Give him a clap offering. Come on. Hallelujah. I'm not going to drive 1,200 miles to try to get a glimpse of an angel when they encamp round about me. Every time I've been delivered from physical harm, there was a man pulled a knife on me. He was AOL from the Veterans Hospital. He's a Vietnam vet that had went off his rocker, and he was AOL from the hospital. He was sitting in my office one of those nights when everybody left, and I'm sitting there, just me and him and Jesus and the angels. And he pulled a knife on me. And I'm going to tell you something. This big man sitting in my office, amen. I don't know karate, and I don't know jujitsu, and I don't know taekwondo, and I don't know wrestling or boxing, but I know Jesus. And believe me, when a man's sitting there and he pulls out a knife in my office and I'm in there by myself, amen, I call on Jesus. And I really believe that something got a hold of him because he was so angry shaking that knife. And then he folded it up. He put it up. He began to weep. And I knew the presence of God had come. I believe the angel of the Lord was in that room. As sure as I'm. And I don't have to see. I was delivered. Can you say amen? So why should we look at angels when we should be finding out something about him? So we can trust him and believe him so that he can deliver us. I don't care about gold dust. Gold dust. People are running to find gold dust in a meeting. God is there, and they're looking for gold dust. You know who seeks a sign? Who seeks a sign? Oh, nobody knows. An unbelieving generation is looking for a sign. Believers don't look for signs. Signs look for them. Amen. These signs shall follow them that believe. And what are the signs? When you minister Christ to others, God confirms that. The Holy Ghost mediates the presence of Jesus and manifests the power and presence of God. They shall, what are the signs? Gold dust, angels? No, they shall lay hands on the sick. So weak. Amen. Anybody in here? preaching the gospel to you, I can't just say a little bitty amen. I don't know where those little amens come from. They shall lay hands on the sick. Oh, come on. That's what I'm talking about. They shall lay hands on the sick and... Listen, if you have a need today, you're going to have to get your faith level lifted just a little bit this morning. Can you say amen? Somebody said, oh, we want the power of God to flow. Well, for goodness sake, get involved in the presence of God so the power can flow. I'm talking about power to heal, power to deliver, power to save, power to change. Not just what you feel at a given time, but that brings the deliverance. Sometimes God has delivered me when I didn't feel anything. I went to University Community Hospital to pray for a man that had a massive heart attack, was in intensive care. He was in such bad shape, they wouldn't let me in the room because they thought that I would kind of be perceived as a priest giving last rites and would push him, he'd just give up hope and go on and die. The doctor told me that. But the whole family was gathered out in the waiting room of ICU. I went in there, this family that had called me to pray. I had a busy day. I had some problems, some issues. I was emotionally spent, physically spent, and spiritually probably in need of some refreshing myself when I was called upon to go pray. You've got to be instant in season, out of season. You can't prepare for some of these things. Amen? But God is God. The anointing is the anointing. Amen. It's all real. It has feelings can get involved, but feelings don't make things happen because feelings come and go. They go up and down. Emotions go up and down, but God is consistently God. And whatever you discover about Him never changes, no matter what the circumstances are or how you feel at a given time. Whatever you truly discover by revelation about God will last you forever. And it becomes unshakable no matter what you feel or what you see. While we look not at the things which are seen, for they are temporal. We listen. We begin to look at the things which are unseen, for they are eternal. I want my faith, amen, to be consistent, not based on how a service goes. Sometimes people come in with issues. Sometimes y'all come in with all kinds of issues. Amen. And here I am preaching and you got issues. And I'll guarantee you it's hard to get past your issues to get the word to you. And I sense it and I feel it. Amen. There are services that I preach so good, but not much seems to be getting through. It's just going zoom because other things entering in is choking the word. But if you ever get focused on the Lord and you give those issues to Him and let the word of God start penetrating your heart, you're going to get something of spiritual substance to this end that you and you and you and you and you might be established, set at one with Him. Paul said, when I leave, nothing of His presence, nothing of His power, nothing of His grace and mercy is going with me. Amen. What happened in that church was they became established. Can you say amen? He said, I charge you to feed the flock of God when He left the church and left others in charge. Feed the flock of God. What is the food for the flock of God? Is it angel dust? Is it angel wings? Is it manifestations? No, what is the food? What is the food? Feed the flock of God over whom the Holy Ghost has given you, amen, that overseership. Feed them, feed them, feed them. I love Jeremiah. I believe it's 3:16, one of those. Anyway, it's Jeremiah 3:15. It's Jeremiah. It's in the book. Read the whole book of Jeremiah till you find it. It'll do you good for homework. It may be Jeremiah 3:15. I am not sure about that, but I know what it says. And I will give you pastors, shepherds after my own heart, and they will. What? What will they do? They will feed you with what? With knowledge and understanding. Can you say amen? Is it Jeremiah 3:15? What does it say?
I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding.
I will give you what?
Pastors.
According to what?
Mine heart.
All right, a pastor according to his heart, what's he going to do? Is he going to mesmerize you? Is he going to imply to you that all the anointing is vested in him and the only way you can have a God connection is through him or her? No, what's he going to do, the pastor after his heart?
Feed you with knowledge and understanding.
Feed you with knowledge and understanding. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, Paul said. Not let the mighty man glory in his might, nor the rich man glory in his wealth. But he that boasts or glory, let him boast in this, that he knows and understands me, saith the Lord. The Old Testament carries that on. He was quoting an Old Testament scripture that I am the Lord that executes righteousness and in all of the earth, and mercy in all of the earth, that he understands my character. He understands why I do what I do, not just what I do. That he understands me and he knows me. The Bible said that God would grant unto you, Paul prayed that God would grant unto you the spirit of wisdom. Say that.
Revelation and knowledge.
That he would grant unto you the spirit of revelation and knowledge of him, that you might know what is the hope of your calling, and the riches of his inheritance in the saints, and the power to usward who believe, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, far above all principality and power, and hath put all things under his feet. That God would grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And through that knowledge of him, you would know all the other things that he wants you to know. For in who? In him is hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Everybody say, it's all about him. It's all about him. You can shout. I've shouted. You've shouted. But I look to see the next service. You can get excited down here and get turned on. And I look how turned on you get the next service. I look for something that lasts. Not something that happened as an isolated event in time, but something that was established in you that carries on. You know what should be happening today? If something really happened when you got your best shout, you should be excited today. You should be progressively moving closer to him today. You should come in here full of faith today, and I should too. I want substance. I just don't want an emotional high. I don't want something that is an event at that time that by next week or 2 weeks later is as if that never happened. I want everything God does. Listen, time is short. I want it to be building blocks. I want to go from strength to strength, not strength to weakness and back to strength. I want to get off the seesaw. How about you? I want to go from strength to strength. I want to go from glory to glory. Here's how we go from glory to glory. Does anybody want to know how to go from glory to glory? Has nothing to do with bright lights. Has nothing to do with angelic experiences. Everybody say the missionaries didn't see the angels. The people who came to hurt them saw the angels. That means the missionary had to believe that God would protect them without seeing anything. And except those people had come to Christ and give them the testimony, they would have never known about the two angels standing by the door. Amen? So you don't run looking for angels. You get to know your God so you can trust him. Angels will do their job according to his instructions. The important thing is that you know your God. That you know your God. And the only way you're going to know your God is if you get some knowledge and understanding. And the only way you're going to get knowledge and understanding if you're fed that. That will bring knowledge and understanding. Amen? Wow. I pastored in Pentecostal. I am Pentecostal still, so this is not a past tense thing. But I pastored in the Pentecostal genre. Over 35 years. And I've watched people run after everything you could think of. One man got in the holy laughter movement. Got holy laughter. After I got the holy laughter, he come to me. He's laughing his head clean off. I couldn't even have a conversation with him. He was laughing hysterically. He thought he was in some kind of deep presence of God, deep manifestation. Everything, he said, I'm telling you, you got to get in this. I thought, well, if it's God, I want everything God's got. But I don't have to get in that to know him. It has nothing to do with knowing him. Whether you have that kind, listen, I'm not diminishing supernatural things that God does, but you don't get to know him by the supernatural things that he does. God parted the Red Sea for Israel, but they wouldn't cross Jordan to take Canaan. Amen? You ever seen that? There's a new movie out, and I got to hurry, but there was a new movie out about the parting of the waters. Oh, by the way, I'm not going to give you milk today. You're too old in the Lord for me to be handing you milk this morning. Amen. We're not going to play that game. Listen, if you don't ever get to know the Lord, we're going to go back to the same old stuff over and over. And we're going to have to preach faith again. We're going to preach love again. We're going to preach this again and that again and again. And it's just going to be again and again and again. But if you ever get to know your God, your life is going to change. You will become established. You and God will have a relationship based on your knowledge of Him, and it will be a strength to you. You will be steadfast. You won't be wishy-washy. Hey, man, your life will, you'll be the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. He will establish your goings. Can you say amen? And healing's going to come to us. I can't wait. I wanted to preach it this morning. God wouldn't let me do it. But you don't want to miss these coming services. Praise God. Because we're going to do some teaching and preaching. But I'm telling you, the angels are here. If you never see them, it's just fine. They're going to, when God says amen for you to be delivered, they're going to assist in your deliverance. They're going to bear you up in their hands lest you dash your foot upon a stone. They're here. Can you say amen? The glory of God is here because He's here. Can you say amen? It attends His presence. It's not something that just comes. It's on. Listen, He can't be nowhere that it isn't because it attends His presence. And where two or more, you may discover it, but it's not because it showed up. It's because you discovered it or He let you see it. But it's here because He's here. Can you say amen? That's why on the day of Pentecost, amen, when the presence of God came into the human body and the human soul, what happened? Immediately, the resplendent glory that attends the presence of God was seen as cloven fire upon their heads. Amen. Men and women were seen with the glory that attends His presence because His presence had been placed within men and women. And here we are filled with the Holy Ghost and what? Shekinah, fire. Everybody say fire. Everybody say the glory of God. That's not just zeal or enthusiasm. That's that attends His presence. Rise and shine, thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon thee. Can you say amen? God's still waiting for His church to get up and shine. Not to pursue something that they have, but to let what they have manifest through their life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Listen to me carefully. I want to see this happen. I don't have time to spin my weevils anymore. I don't have time to waste. I want to use it for the glory of God. What kind of pastor are you supposed to have? Pastor after God's heart. How do you know it's that pastor's after God's heart? Because He's going to feed you with knowledge and understanding. Knowledge of understanding of what? No, knowledge and understanding of who. Everybody say of who. Can you say amen? That you might know your God. Why? Because they that do know their God shall be strong. And they shall what? Do exploits. Praise God. Just having the Holy Ghost is not the same as knowing God. Can you say amen? You can have the power of God residing within you, but if you don't know God, you won't stand in bold faith. Amen. If you don't stand in bold faith, that power that's in you will not manifest through you. But if you know your God enough to be steadfast and take action, that power will flow through you. Can you say amen? Trying to convey this morning. Because I don't have confidence that a wonderful, powerful service is going to take care of everything unless you and I and we together hook up to God in a way that we can quit vacillating. We can quit being beaten up and beaten down. And we can learn to handle things in a faith that will let God move and be glorified. It's serious. It's that serious. There have been people set in services that seem happy on the outside that took their own life because they didn't get it. They never got it. They ran all over the country. One man sat in our service for year after year after year, but he never got a grasp on the goodness of God. At 54 years old, they tried to get me to preach on health food, the health dietary, literally the dietary stuff from Genesis. And there may be some virtue in that. But I was preaching faith in God. And they wanted me to teach about a dietary thing in Genesis for health. One man that was a proponent of that, and his wife in particular, 54 years old, he gets stomach cancer. I went to the hospital. They were going to another church. I guess I wouldn't preach dietary things. I was too busy trying to preach that would deliver and set free. That would be health to your navel and marrow to your bone. And it didn't have to do with whole grains. I'm not talking about, there is something for the body in that. But I'm not talking about the body. I'm talking about the soul. Can you say amen in the spirit? And I'm going to tell you something about the body. You get your soul and spirit built up in the Lord. The body is going to begin to reflect that. Amen. If you need healing in your body, get something down in your soul. Hallelujah. That starts being health to your navel and marrow to your bone, because that is the center of health for your body. Praise God. Amen. If you get bone cancer, what are they going to give you? A bone marrow transplant. If you get a blood problem, they want to deal with the marrow. The Bible said this is going to be health to your navel and marrow to your bone. Praise God. But we need to be fed with knowledge and understanding. I'm taken back by what I see today. What people run after denotes the fact that we haven't discovered what we need to discover. No wonder it's so easy to move a crowd, because we all come that make up that crowd. We come to believe. We want to believe. We want to see God move. And it's very easy for someone who isn't representing Him to manipulate that through my anointing, my gifts. The anointing and gifts were not given to take the place of that personal knowledge of God and that relationship with Him. That's why the Apostle Paul said, when I leave here, I want you to be established when I go. Set at one with Him. So he told the church at Ephesus, he told the elders of that church, he said, you take heed that you feed the flock of God, over whom the Holy Ghost has made you the overseer. Let me tell you how Jesus did this. Jesus taught for 3 days and 3 nights. Everybody say 3 days and 3 nights. And there was no break for lunch. There was no, absolutely no break to go eat or drink for 3 days and 3 nights. And nobody left to go get food for 3 days. And the disciples came to him on the third day and said, the people have been out here listening to you teach for 3 days without eating. They didn't go back to their homes. They stayed out there. And the miracle came because they had put the premium on what the premium was supposed to be on. See, somebody gets healed, that's them. They got healed. But you in your valley, you in your depression, you in your oppression, you can watch people get healed all day long, but you can still stay in that pit. But Jesus was teaching them about God and the Father and salvation and things that they, that as Jesus put it, Martha, Martha, you're troubled about so many things you're doing. You're so easily distracted. You think this is most important. But Mary has chosen what? That good thing which, listen, will not be taken from her. What she's learning at my feet right now through knowledge and understanding, she's going to take out of here to be with her the rest of her life. Amen? Do you understand the difference in just getting a blessing on Sunday and getting something that's going to stay with you for the rest of your life? My victory is based on things that happened way in my past that I learned about God that's going to stay with me for the rest of my life. And if I never see an angel, I'm going to continue to experience their deliverance. And if I never see gold dust down here raining down while somebody's preaching, I'm going to walk on streets of gold when I get to heaven. Can you say amen? So it won't be no big deal. If I never see the Lord, whom having not seen, you love. With what? And you got to get to know Him for this love to flow like that. With joy unspeakable and full of the glory of God. Isn't that incredible? While we look not at the things which are seen, they're temporal, but the things which are unseen, for they are eternal. Hallelujah. God wants you to know Him. God wants you to know Him. God wants you to know Him. I was in a meeting before. I was full-blown called to pastor, and I was trying to find my way, and I was called out, and I love to get called out, and the man laid his hand on me and said, God's got a work for you to do, and I thought, oh boy, goody, goody, and then he said, and thou shalt be known as a man who cast out devils, and I said, I'm going to conquer the enemy, hallelujah, that's good, but the one thing that really stuck with me, that I had to go through a valley to have that part of my ministry manifest, amen, and you know my ministry's changed. Because I'm teaching you this morning. And I'm teaching with authority. Why? Because I've been through that valley. Nobody in here has been where I've been. I guarantee you, you haven't spent 10 years coming out of nervous exhaustion. Nobody I know in this room. I felt like I was going to die, but I didn't. I felt like I couldn't get through, but I did. I felt God had forsaken me, but He hadn't. That was only a feeling. Can you say amen? But He showed me something. Amen. Through the Word and through my walk with Him. And I love my Shepherd King today. Amen. I love Him with all of my heart, and I'm going to be serving Him the longest day that I live. Hallelujah. And evangelists come and go, but me and Jesus are united as one. Amen. Listen to me. Amen. I go to revivals when the greatest revivals I attend are the ones that put the focus right on Jesus and never take it off of Him. I don't want to be mesmerized. I want the revelation of God by the Holy Spirit. Through the Word of God. Because I want to be established. I want to be able to stand all of the tests that's coming, and they're coming. Listen to me carefully. They that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. My wife had this trip, and she's been went through the nervous exhaustion with me. We both broke under the load. And she's been afraid to venture far from home, and she don't want fear. She hates fear, but she's afraid to venture out because she gets out from under my covering. She gets out there on her own, and what if I have an anxiety attack 600 miles from home? But she said, honey, I feel that God wants me to do this instead of waiting. I want to be with my mom on Mother's Day. I feel God wants me to go by myself. And she said to tell Doug, said, Doug, thank you for making the praise tapes that you made for. Because she said, it's just me and Jesus. It's kind of getting alone with the Lord. You set the cruise control on the interstate and it's just you and God. And you know what is thrilling me? Because I'm her physical covering, her husband, and I can be there to pray with her and help her. But you know what's thrilling my soul? To pick up a cell phone, and she's way out, and she's got this little tom-tom thing that directs her. You know, this lady on there says, turn right. And if she makes the wrong turn, says, turn right, turn right, turn right, turn right. Amen. And get in the left lane. You're going to turn left in 2 miles, and, you know, it just routes you and all of that. But the great thing she sensed was not just having GPS system with her, you know, but absolutely knowing God is with me. God is with me every step of the way. She's getting to know her God enough to trust in Him. And I'm telling you, it's going to strengthen her because it's kind of like it broke a barrier. I can take a trip by myself and I'm going to be okay and I'm going to come back okay. She said, I'm looking forward to the trip coming back, just me and the Lord. Just me and the Lord. And I'm saying that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Because when she gets back, praise God, I guarantee you she's going to tell you about strength she received from the Lord through His grace and mercy and a deeper knowledge of Him because she was out there in a vulnerable situation and He came through like He promised that He would. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Isn't God good today? Don't you love Him today? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. Amen. If somebody starts manipulating me, I turn them off. I don't care how many books they wrote, how many tapes they have, and how many people follow them. Because I don't follow them, I follow Him. Can you say amen? And when I get in a service, I want Him to be exalted. And the end result of that service is to get me more deeply committed to Him and a deeper understanding of Him. Amen. So that me and Him can have a relationship after they're long gone. Can you say amen? Somebody give Him praise in this room today. I believe God is going to open up doors for me to go out and preach. But brother, when I leave, I want people to be hooked up to him. Not to my anointing, not to me, but to him. I don't even know the man's name who prayed for me to be healed of cancer. I don't know anything about his gifts and anointings except he prayed the prayer of faith in a church where God could move. But I know the name of the man who healed me. Can you say amen? Somebody say glory to God. Glory to the Lord. I know the name of the man who healed me. And I never forgot that, and I never will forget it. Praise God. Hallelujah. God grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. In the knowledge of him. That's Paul's prayer for the church, that you might get to know him. Because if you get to know him, you as a people and as an individual will be strong, and you will do exploits if you ever get to know him. It is Mother's Day, I understand. I'm sorry a while ago. I know this is a hard day to preach because there's all kinds of other things with moms on the agenda. It's not why we're not having a service tonight, because what we got to say is too important to try to say it in the context of so many other things taking place. This is Mama's Day. I'm going to quit right now. Would you stand to your feet? We can't get all of this in a service anyway. But we can understand where all of these services are going to take us ultimately. No matter what we're preaching in any service, whether it be prophecy, healing, deliverance, help, provision, protection, it's all going to come through increasing our knowledge of him. Can you say amen? For they that do know him will be strong and do exploits. I used to sing a song when I was dating Pamela. I used to hear it sung. I didn't sing it because it's actually the lady singing a song to a guy. And I used to love that song because I thought, I always visualized Pamela singing it to me. Would you like to hear it? I'm going to sing it anyway. You might as well go ahead and sing it. To know him is to love, love, love him. And I do, and I do, and I do. To know him is to love him. Whom having not seen, you love with joy unspeakable and full of glory. How can you love him whom you have not seen? Oh, by faith. I just love him by faith. No, you don't. You don't love by faith. You receive by faith, but you don't love by faith. You don't love by faith. You love by getting to know him. Whom having not seen you love. How could they do that? You remember when there was a servant sent to bring a bride back, which is the work of the Holy Spirit today, a type of that? Remember that story? Was it Jacob? The servant was sent to bring back a bride. And this lady pulls water for the camels. And such a servant-hearted, beautiful lady inside and out. He tells her that he's representing this wonderful man. This wonderful man looking for a bride. And she consents to go back and meet this man and become a bride. He's already telling her this is a wonderful man. And all the way back to meet him, she's a spouse now, but all the way back on that journey back, what's he doing? He's telling her what kind of man this man is. He is so sweet. He is so kind. He's a man of integrity. Oh, he's got such a loving, tender heart. You can't help but love this man. Ah, if he saw a sheep out there having a problem, he'd run. Put his own life at risk to grab that sheep and help it. If somebody was hurt in the field and hurt themselves some way, he would go right out there and pick them right up. Even though he's the master, he'd still go out there and help a servant. Oh, what a wonderful man this is. He's a kind, tender-hearted man. You know what happened? She fell in love with him before she even seen him because somebody was telling her everything about him, about all of his virtues and all of his good characteristics before she ever met him. She fell in love with him. And when she finally laid eyes on him, you know, she wasn't looking for his outward appearance. She already fell in love with his character. Can you say amen? And when she saw him, she run to him. Can you say amen? God wants you to learn something about him through his word and by the revelation of the Holy Spirit that you begin to fall in love with Jesus in this room. Amen. You don't just come to church anymore. You just go through the motions. You come to church to embrace him in praise and worship. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And your heart begins to melt before him. Whom have he not seen you love? Why? Because someone is feeding you with knowledge and understanding of him. And you can't help but love him after a while. Amen. You don't love God by faith. You love him through knowledge and understanding of his character. It just draws it out of you. And it draws it out of me. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is changing this church. You may like it. You may dislike it. But I would not go back. Amen. To the hit, miss, up, down, on, off. Spiritual high, spiritual drop, inconsistencies. That is not what God has for us. He wants to establish us as a people that are so filled with love for him that when people walk in this room, we've just got love to give away and we just pour it on them. That's why my aunt, my wife's aunt, is in church this morning. Her life has changed. She walked into a church that people had resolved their issues. Amen. They're walking in love with the Lord. So when somebody walks in the door, they just lavish love on them. Can you say amen? And they feel it when they walk in. If you still got issues unresolved in your life, you don't care who walks in that door. You're just trying to survive. Can you say amen? You're just trying to get through it yourself. Can you say amen? It ain't about them. It's about us and our issues. God wants us to find a way to resolve these things. So when somebody walks in that door, we can lavish love on them. We can pray for them. We can reach out to them. And they can feel the embrace of this congregation. It's life changing to walk into an atmosphere like that. That's why God wants us to be strong and do exploits by the knowledge that he's going to bring us. Do you want to go on this journey with me? Will you do it? Will you do it? Will you stay focused and let's do it? All right. Would you bow your head this morning? The clock is running. It's Mother's Day. And that's exactly why we're not having a service tonight. It's hard to keep the focus. This is too important to miss. This is too important to miss. I don't want to see any marriage broken up in this church. I've seen them break up. If you think yours is above that, and you and your mate don't come to a deeper knowledge of God to stabilize your life, no service is going to fix your problems. No one service can fix anything. It's that progressive knowledge of God that starts ministering the deliverance that we need. I want my marriage to last. I do not assume that 46 years, neither one of us has a wandering heart and we're too old for that. And we're just going to tolerate each other till Jesus comes. That is not what I want in my marriage. Amen. I want it so safe because of a love and a knitting together and a unifying that both of us are in one mind and one accord. We're pursuing the living God, both of us, individually and together. I want to help Pamela to come to know him better. She prays for me and tries to give me space that I can pursue him and takes things off of me that I can pursue him for myself. Praise God. I've come to take you, saith God, where you have prayed to go. I've come to lead you where you have prayed to be. I've come to take you, yea, another step up and on, saith God. Yea, I've come to pull you, not push you, but to pull pull you forward as you reach out to me. I will take you where you have prayed to be, saith the Spirit of God. Somebody give him praise in this room. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. How many people want to go on this journey with me? We got to unify around this right here and right now. Shalabaki solamani andadama le kosholamanite shilamakiti andadaba lo koroshalamanite shilamaniti tiandadaba. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, in this little word, there's a glimpse into your holy character of love and grace and mercy, kindness, of tenacious love that just won't turn us loose and won't let us go. I thank you for it today. I thank you for the faith that's going to rise in the hearts who will receive it. I thank you for the healings that are going to take place in here as we begin to touch the hem of your garment again. In the name of Jesus. I thank you for that virtue that just flows. Father, it's already your will. When we are able to make that kind of faith contact, it flows from you. It flows from you. Even in the midst of a crowd, Lord, you're not even having a healing time, but it flows out of you. It just flows out of your goodness. It just flows when someone in faith comes and lays hold on that goodness, that virtue to heal and to help just flows from you. Praise God. Would you just lift your hand, begin to praise him and thank him? I don't want anyone in this room to be in that pit, that horrible pit. God is trying to reach somebody today that the devil's already tried to touch. And God is telling you he loves you. He wants you to know him. You may have grew up without a knowledge of him. You could be Pentecostal. You could be Episcopalian. You could be Lutheran Church of Christ. You could be Southern Baptist to the bone. But he wants you to know him. You could be a shouting preacher. You could be a choir member. You could be a musician. But listen, there's no one above that horrible pit David was talking about. God said, I want you to know me. I want you to trust me. I want you to be able to reach out to me when you can't feel me, can't see me, because you know me. Praise God. Shelamaniti yondara basalamakite breshalamanindi likorosha la shandara bakisa le shalamanina. Number two, will you please? Did I give you anything yet? Listen, we're dealing with people right now that the devil has told you to kill yourself. That's why we had this issue today. The devil has told you, why don't you just kill yourself and stop the pain? Why don't you just kill yourself? You'll never find God like other people seem to know him. Why don't you just take your life? Why don't you just stop all of this pain? Amen. Listen to me. Amen. I'm telling you, God loves you today. That's why he changed this service. That's why the enemy would like to distract everybody he can from it. That's why he gave me this message today. Folks, would you pray with me? Amen. There's a lot at stake in this service. I know it's Mother's Day, and I know that there's been a real move of the enemy, amen, to try to stop what God is wanting you to hear and wanting you to receive today. This has been a hard service for me to deliver, and it shouldn't be. But I feel like there's something in the balance here today, that there's spiritual warfare being waged over. And I can't have just an appropriate service. And I have to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. I'm replaying a lifetime of experience in ministry here today. And I'm telling you, we need more than what's being offered us. We need a depth of understanding. Amen. We need to get established in a faith that won't break down under the pressures that come to us all. Let's just worship just for a moment. I'm going to ask something real quickly. No one has to come. Can happen where you stand. But if you need prayer today, and you need the love I've talked about to embrace you and surround you, and you believe there's something that you need to discover in the Lord that you haven't discovered, and if you need prayer and you want to come forward, I just want you to come today. I want you to feel free to come. We want to embrace you in love. Hallelujah. Just let it play for just a moment. I've got to be obedient.